Hey, Chan girls and Chan boys, this is Sunny here, one third of the Chan Splitting Podcast, here to bring you this week's episode, The Forbidden Kingdom. Oh yeah. This movie is pretty cool. It's the first time I believe that Jet Li and Jackie Chan are on screen fighting at the same time. This week's episode is brought to you by the Winter Olympics. More specifically, all of the Asian Americans on the U.S. team at the Winter Olympics. I think Mirai Nagasu, as of today, or as of last night today, just landed the triple axel, which makes her the first woman, American woman, to do so. So, congrats, Mirai. Also, Nathan Chen is on the men's ice skating team, so watch out for that. Oh, yeah. Anyway, back to Jackie Chan. Please rate and review us on iTunes, like our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter at The Chan Pod. Thank you very much. Here's The Forbidden Kingdom. Bye.
Music. Music.
To Chansplaining, the only Jackie Chan podcast, and if you could understand that, we're going to be talking about the Forbidden Kingdom.
Yeah.
We've got Eagles Mania here at Chansplaining. Mm-hmm. I'm one third of your hosts, Matt, here with Jet Li in this movie, Sonny, and Jackie Chan in this movie, Jordan. How's it going, guys?
It looks like the Patriots were the snake and eagle shadow.
Oh! Jordan, if you were tweeting, that should have been something you tweeted.
Wow.
Goddamn.
That's a great one.
That is a really good one, Sonny. Yeah. But yeah, we got Eagles Mania here at my house. In that I'm happy and Rhea is.
I thought Rhea was not.
Yeah.
No, she's very unhappy. Okay. It's the opposite. Usually I'm the miserable one and she's the one who's successful.
But you're not really an Eagles fan, right?
No, but I'm kind of, it's with the Patriots, it's sort of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And also, one of my best friends, Dan, is a diehard Eagles fan. Mm. And I'm very happy for him.
Wait, he's an Eagles fan? He lives in the shadow of the Sabres.
The fuck does that mean?
In the shadow of the same.
Oh, wait,
like,
no, I'm thinking of the wrong team. He lives in the shadow of the Bulls. The Bills.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So why is he not a Bills fan?
His family is from Philly, so there's like the Eagles and Philly sports.
Do you think Jackie Chan knows what football is?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think he has to. I bet he's been in a football movie.
I saw him next to Bradley Cooper at the Super Bowl.
No, you didn't. That was his wife.
Yes, I did.
That was Bradley Cooper's wife.
Or Jeff Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, who looks a lot like Lorne Michaels.
Oh, he does. Actually, when I saw him on the telecast, I thought he looked a lot like Lorne Michaels. But Lorne Michaels is a diehard Giants fan.
Probably. I think he's Canadian, so he probably doesn't care.
Oh. Wait, Lorne is Canadian?
100%.
Hmm. Interesting.
You don't listen to Marc Maron?
No.
Lock the
gates. You listen to Marc Maron from 2012 to 2013?
No, I've never listened to Marc Maron.
Who are your guys, Jordan?
Not even when Obama was on.
Me either. Oh, I don't care about that guy. Who? Oprah's the future.
Yeah.
What?
That's the only O I care about. And the Othello movie O.
Yeah.
You guys see any sweet movies this week before we get into a very long episode of part of Chan Fiction?
I haven't actually seen anything this week. I'm mentally preparing myself for Black Panther.
I heard it's great.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I haven't seen... I don't think I've seen anything. I meant to see Lady Bird, but the plans didn't work out, so...
Oh, okay.
I didn't see anything.
I watched the director's commentary of Pan's Labyrinth because I got the Criterion Collection version of it.
Cool.
And there's like a 10-second part where Guillermo del Toro just like rails on how shitty it is to make movies with horses. He's just like, they're fucking evil. I'm so glad I shot this in the beginning rather than the end, or else I would have killed these fucking horses.
If I bring up a trivia fact about Guillermo del Toro, there's a chance that it might ruin your opinion of him.
Uh-oh.
I want to know.
Is he a
It's not that he did a bad thing. He hasn't done a bad thing.
Him
it's
and
not
Peter Jackson are the same person.
That'd be actually really interesting. It would make me like their works more. Especially because they were both going to do The Hobbit.
I know, that's why it's confusing.
Yeah.
Okay. Guillermo del Toro was sort of just like a nerdy Mexican kid for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then his dad won the lottery in Mexico, and he became like a 50 millionaire. And what his dad did was buy him his own house on the property where he just did like made his movie magic shit.
I mean, that's cool.
It's cool that he had it, but I'm also like, that's why you're so creative.
Yeah.
Because you had unlimited Mexican money to do with what you to just be fat weirdo,
a weird person. Yeah, that's awesome though. I mean, could have happened to worse people.
Isn't that always how it works though? Like,
I mean, a lot of the time.
A lot of the time, like, you can't really just like sit around and like.
Yeah.
Do
that
kind of stuff.
I respect Megan Ellison, and she was basically she runs Annapurna Pictures. Mm-hmm. And she was basically born into billions of dollars that they gave her to start a film production company or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, she's the worst A production company. She's far inferior to A24.
Nah.
So.
No, she's not.
Nah.
What?
You I only think... know one production company.
I know. I like Annapurna too. Electric
Sunny
Boogaloo.
Sonny and I are a big Paul Thomas Anderson fan, so
yeah.
We love Annapurna.
Is that...
It's also my favorite Tolstoy book.
Annapurna?
That's an Anna Karenina joke.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Okay.
No,
wrong crowd.
I got the joke. I just...
It's a little far off.
Yeah.
Annapurna. There we go. So I watched Altered Carbon this weekend.
What is
it's
that?
Not really a movie.
Did you
it's a TV
it?
Show. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm finished with it.
Yeah.
In that it's garbage.
It.
And I think that TV is bad again.
The Good Place finale was great, though.
It was good.
Yeah.
I think that our golden age is long dead, and that movies have reigned supreme again, and that things are going to be like a solid 6.5 most of the time.
I think it's Netflix's fault.
Yeah, but what about Milo Ventimiglia?
Oh, you mean the dad on This Is Us?
Yeah, what about Peter from Heroes? What about him?
I mean, I watched that show for a while.
He had a big week.
He did. AV Club had their one a rare funny headline recently that said, This Is Us is obsessed with killing its dad.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah, that show sucks now. I loved it the first season. Now it's schmaltz.
I've never watched it, and I don't plan on it.
I want to watch Black Lightning, but I haven't like found any time for me to get into it.
Yeah, superhero, stupid hero.
Yeah.
What is Black Lightning?
PW.
It's like a CW show with like an all-black superhero cast.
Okay, here's my question. I'm gonna make a hot take. Why are all the black superheroes stuff to do with lightning? Static Shock, Black Lightning,
Panthers.
Panthers are like fast as lightning. What's
Nick?
Yo, what's the? There's some sort of thread.
Luke Cage.
There's a phantom thread going on.
Tesla Cage. Faraday Cage.
Three examples. Boom.
I'm saying that.
What's going on?
I'm not. Now that Black Panther's going to be a thing, I'm not impressed by an all black superhero cast. I want the cast to be made of all ghosts. Mm. Or all holograms. Yeah. And then I'm good.
Do you think there will ever be like an all LGBT superhero?
I think Sense8 was kind of that, wasn't it? Well, it
was that a superhero thing?
It was like they had powers or some weird stuff.
I mean like a Marvel movie.
Oh.
That's like.
Well,
we've had brushes with LGBTQ superheroes in the form of Valkyrie or that Valkyrie right. lady. I don't know her
in
name.
Thor?
In Thor. What's the Brie? Alice? What's her name? Not Allison Brie.
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson. Isn't she going to be a character who
I don't think
LGBTQ?
Captain Marvel is.
I don't know. I really don't know, and I'm tired of superheroes, and I don't care.
You don't think Black Panther's going to be good?
It'll be awesome, and I'll watch it, but it's because Ryan Coogler is doing it. It's not. They could probably take that movie and make it not a superhero movie, and it would still be interesting.
Yeah.
Just because he's so talented. All right. Let's get into some Chan fiction. I apologize in advance, because this is a fucking long chapter I got stuck with.
Don't you mean you apologize in
advance?
No,
chance. Yes, I do mean at chance. Thank you for helping me out here. Okay. So we're going to skip way in the future, because we kind of went out of order. And we're going to talk about a time where Jackie Chan talks about his... I was going to say circumcision. He's superstitious.
What?
Oh, okay.
That's what I was going to say. His superstition. So after he's been performing for a little while, he and the Lucky Seven, or the Seven Lucky Stars, are all like killing it. They're like the Golden State Warriors of 2 years ago when they lost to the Cavs in the finals, where it's just they're winning games. Sure. They're just setting records. It's amazing. JaVale McGee's playing well. It doesn't make any sense. It's great. Then Jackie said something happened that frustrated everything right when they were like honestly getting noticed and stuff in the amusement park that they would perform at and around the town. So Jackie was tasked with cleaning this shrine to masters and to master Yu's ancestors, which was like, I'll say, I don't know. Let's say 500 years old. Seems like a good number to say.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was told to do is he had to dust it with a feather. Like, use a feather duster very gently and clean these very intricate totems and idols. And it would take hours. He had to be on his knees, and it sucked. And it was in addition to after training and after shows, it was the worst. So what Jackie decides to do is, I'm just going to fucking knock out some birds with one stone. And he just takes them all off of the shrine. Just takes like a rag and spit shines them. He's like, I'm just going to clean them all at once. I won't have to get my knees hurt. It'll be fast. It'll be great. And a teacher walks in on him. And the teacher's like, what are you doing? Yun Lo, what's Jackie Chan's name again? Yun Lo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing, Yun Lo? You can't be doing this. This isn't what Master said. And so Jackie said, teacher, please don't tell Master. I said to the tutor in a frightened voice. It was bad enough to have heaven and hell angry at me for disgracing the idol. Mm. I didn't want the powers of the earth on my back, too. The tutor agreed, wanting to get away from the shrine as soon as possible. I guess the tutors catch beatings as well. He puts the icons back in place. And Jackie makes a deep and heartfelt bow to the shrine. He prays, accept my apologies, and forgive me for treating you with such disrespect. And please don't let Master find out, or I could be joining you up there a lot sooner than I would like. So the teacher does it. So I'm just going to read now. Teacher made good on his word and didn't tell Master, but the ways of the spirit world are mysterious and subtle. The ancestors found other means of expressing their displeasure. Boy. Ironically, in our next performance, I was assigned to play one of a set of 5 ghosts. Makeup alone wasn't enough to express properly the ghastliness of the undead, so each of us had to wear a wooden mask that completely covered our faces. The problem was the masks were made for adult performers, not young prodigies like us.
No!
What an asshole. They fit loosely on our heads, no matter how tightly we tried to tie them, and the tiny eye holes were set a little too widely apart for us to see properly. When the performance was already underway and our cue was about to come, I was still fiddling with my mask, trying to stay in place. Sheesh, Big Nose, what's your problem? Stop screwing with your face and get over here, said Yun Lung, standing with the other 4 ghosts at the entrance of the stage. The music that signaled our supernatural arrival began, and I scrambled to my place, willing the mask to hold. No such luck, motherfuckers. As we walked out into the light.
Wait, he did not use...
No, he didn't call the readers motherfuckers. The mask was slipping down, completely blocking my vision. I couldn't adjust the mask while on stage, so I whispered a brief prayer to whatever stage gods there might be that I'd be able to perform the scene blind. For the first few steps in our routine, everything seemed to be going okay, until a move in which all of us ghosts were supposed to turn around and jump forward in unison. The leap seemed to take longer than expected, and I nearly fell over as my feet hit the ground. I heard muffled gasps around me, and I realized in horror that I jumped entirely off the stage, almost into the laps of the front row. Adjusting my mask with one hand, I quickly scrambled back up, hoping that Master had not noticed.
Uh-oh.
So Master had noticed, obviously. And he is planning to catch a fucking beating, as anyone would expect. But the beating doesn't come. Nothing happens. He goes to talk about how Master invites friends to these performances I don't know. I'm not really sure why, but he would always have friends come. And after each performance, he would bring all the friends, and they would always critique it, and Master would be kind of harsh, and the friends would say it was good. This time, Master said nothing. Friends were only complimentary. So Jackie's like, nailed it! He didn't give a shit. He must have been hitting some other child that wasn't affiliated with the school, and he missed it. They go to the amusement park the next day for another show. That day's opera featured Jackie in a very small role, a one-time cameo in which he would enter, shout a command to the troops, and then exit grandly off stage. He thought he would dodge the bullet again. He writes, "Once I got backstage, just to make sure that my performance would be perfect, I prepared everything in advance. There would be no mistakes tonight. My part was small, but my costume was complex. An ancient and splendid set of robes embroidered with dragons. Once I'd put them on, they were difficult to take off. So a good hour before the show began, I went and relieved myself and began the arduous process of getting into character. I stretched myself out and examined my ears and teeth. And I painted my face carefully, making sure there were no stray streaks or unusual splotches. Satisfied with everything in order, I got into my robes and headdress. The only thing I didn't put on was the elaborate beard that completed the costume because it was so hot and itchy. Finally ready, I sat stiffly in my chair. What could go wrong? And then there was a tap on my shoulder. I shook my head, realizing that I'd fallen asleep. I hadn't gotten to bed until late because I was worrying about the state of my soul. The heat and pressing weight of the heavy robes must have put me out like a light. I looked up, saw Yun Tai fully dressed for his entrance, his eyes wide with panic and painted face. The curtain is open, damn it! Get out there! I struggled upright and calmed my nerves. Go! I shouted in a deep, warlike voice. Kill them! And I spun on my heel to make my exit, stroking my beard for effect. My beard. There was nothing there. I'd forgotten the beard backstage. Sweating profusely beneath my robes, I lifted them and hustled off into the wings. This time I'd be pounded for sure, I thought. But once again, he didn't get the shit kicked out of him. Worst luck yet. I'd escaped 2 beatings in a row. It was clear that disaster was looming somewhere right around the corner. So they're going to do this new big opera, and Jackie's going to be the star. It doesn't make sense why he's getting rewarded like this, but it seems to be that they're giving him the chance to shine.
It's like,
which is actually kind of cool. Next man up.
Wait, but is he suspicious of this? Is this like Whiplash?
No, that'd be amazing if it was. It's not like Whiplash. Okay. I think that Master Yu is like too concerned with the status of the school to whiplash him into a situation.
Yeah.
Okay. I was worried about something similar.
Oh my god, there's still so much left of this fucking chapter. I'll show them, just because they were... Okay, so he's pissed off at the ghosts for fucking with him right now, the spirits. He goes, yeah. I'll show them. Just because they were dead didn't mean they could push me around. I'll escape their vengeance, even if it kills me. All the way over the theater, I recited my lines to myself and reviewed the preparations I'd have to make. The outfit worn by the God of Justice was even more complicated than one I'd had to put on the day before. There were a lot of penance involved, he says. He talks about penance forever. These penance made it almost impossible to sit down once the costume was put on. It was a blessing in disguise. There'd be no sleeping on the job this time.
Wait, are you saying pendants?
I'm saying penance by accident. It's pendants. He writes P-E-N-N-A-N-T-S. Penance.
Penance. Okay. Like the little flags.
Yeah, not like making... Yeah, little flags.
Okay.
Like what?
Like the little flags.
What flags?
Penance.
Penance.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to Google it while you're talking.
That's fine. Okay, pretty much he's then threatened by Yuen Long that if he fucks up, Yuen Long's gonna murder him.
Yeah,
as is an everyday tradition. I don't even know why he includes it. It's a granted. Tonight would be perfect, he said. I would avoid my fate after all. And with that, I carefully removed my beard and placed it back in the properties box. He was wearing another beard for this, setting it at the table down near the stage entrance where I wouldn't misplace it. So two big scenes happen, and he's called up. Yuen Lo, curtains up, it's your cue, whispered Yuen Bao, shaking me from my reverie. Prepared and refusing to rush, I walked toward the stage door, remembering to retrieve my beard from the prop box. As I entered the wings, I pulled the thick clump of hair from my face, adjusting it as to not block my mouth and hooking the ear pieces behind my ears. So far, so good. The spotlight came on, and I raised my hands and began to sing, but the front row looked puzzled. What was wrong? Beginning to perspire, I surreptitiously reached to the front of my costume and suffered a minor heart attack. It was the beard. Somehow, while sitting in the prop box, it had gotten tangled with a second beard, with the result that combined the length of facial hair stretched almost to my knees. Worse yet, the part I'd actually placed over my face wasn't the carefully cleaned and groomed one I'd chosen. It was an old and unclean one, carrying the horrible stink of dried saliva. Every note I sang brought more of the stench into my lungs, and I had to use all of my self-control not to vomit on stage. When the scene ended, I marched off stage and nearly collapsed. Yuen Long and Yuen Tai gaped at my long-bearded face as they marched on stage into their soldier outfits. Oh man, I heard Yuen Tai whisper. He's done. So then, Jackie gets back in composure because he's apparently a prodigy actor. Time for his second performance. What else could possibly go wrong? I picked up a wooden tablet for the scene and adjusted my ridiculous beard and then walked as solemnly and magnificently onto the stage as I was able. As soon as I reached the lights, I began to make my pronouncement, raising one arm dramatically in the air, and then I dropped the tablet. It fell on the stage with a heavy wooden thunk. The noise seemed to echo around the theater. For a performer, there is no more horrible sound than absolute silence. But that wasn't the end of the matter. I leaned over with as much grace as I could muster to pick up the fallen tablet, only to hear a sudden explosion of laughter. What was wrong? My mistake was tragic, but not particularly funny. Peering upward at the crowd, I caught a glimpse of something waving out of the corner of my eye. It was hanging down over my shoulder, and its size and color made it clear that it wasn't part of my costume. Somehow, while I'd be leaning against the prop shelves, one of my pennants had hooked a pair of jeans, which was now flapping idiotically behind my back. There was no avoiding it now. Tonight, I knew I would get the beating of my life, and undead justice would finally be served. So...
Undead justice.
So, Master beats the shit out of him.
Oh, okay.
In front of everybody. This time he catches a terrible beating, where Master tells him to recount his sins, which are all of the mistakes he made, while he beats him in front of everyone. He canes him over 20 times... And then he leaves him there and, like, I assume a mess.
Yeah.
And then he goes to bed. And then, thankfully, this ends with him saying, as I shifted on the floor attempting to find a sleeping position that didn't cause me pain, I sent a short mental message in the direction of the ancestral shrine. We're even, right? As sleep closed my eyes, I thought I could see the statues gleam. So I think this chapter's weird. Fucking... weird, and also it's good because so much of it does have to do with ancestry and stuff, which seems to be a lot to do with the movie we watched.
Yeah, too. This is the first time he really mentions any sort of spirituality in this book, right?
Yeah, Jackie Chan's an atheist, right? Probably.
I don't know.
Well, he's in.
Money is my god.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't know. This kind of reminded me of Mulan.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's different. It's different, like the shrine business, and like the vengeance of the ancestors and stuff like that.
Right, but it's not a shrine to his ancestors. It's just
Master Yu's.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a shrine to somebody else's. I'm just saying the concept of the shrine,
right,
and the ancestors and their ability to influence the real world and stuff.
Yeah, my grandma had a shrine in our house, and not my house, but in her house growing up, because she was a Buddhist. Mm. And it stunk really bad. And then
that's a different kind of shrine, right?
It had pictures of her relatives on it.
Oh. Hmm.
I don't know. I researched... This is totally off point. I maybe shouldn't even say it. I guess I have to now. I was researching Shintoism recently just because I wanted to see how much of Japan's population was Shinto versus Buddhism and Christianity. It's most of it. Okay. And I found that Shintoism isn't really even like a religious study. It's more of just like a devotion to one's ancestry and ancient culture.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more like kind of what I feel like this movie was, where it's a bunch of stories that don't really teach lessons so much. It's more just like, this is the creation myth, or this is this, and people are raised with that culture. It's sort of like how I'm culturally Jewish, even though I do whatever I want. I eat meat and milk all the time. Every meal.
This movie... Wait, Jordan, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, it's similar, but like it stems from a different... I think Judaism doesn't really have... It has folk heroes... But
Moses,
Abrams. They're all like humans who are imbued with powers from God.
What about the bush?
Yeah, that's God.
What about the snake?
That's also God.
I thought the God was the devil.
What?
Beelzebub.
What? No. So, like, Moses doesn't actually have any powers on his own. Mm-hmm. He asks God for help, and he's able to do stuff.
What about Goliath?
You mean David?
No, Goliath. He was a giant.
Yeah, but he's just a giant guy.
That's powers.
It's just Andre the Giant.
No, but okay.
I thought he was like 100 feet tall.
So in like the Moses story, there are the other gods, but they don't have like... I don't know. It's hard to explain. Judaism doesn't have any folk heroes that are inhuman.
Bob Dylan.
Human.
Yeah. John Stewart.
Yeah, besides John Stewart and Bob Dylan.
None of the characters in this movie are, like, religious heroes. They're not, like, codified in any, like, religious texts. They're just folk.
Cultural heroes.
Yeah, they're, like, in novels and stuff.
But my point is that they have, like, mystical... They have, like, immortality.
Sure.
Yeah. Sonny, you said something awesome last week that I really want you to talk about, which is that your parents told you stories about this?
Well, it's not like they didn't, like, tell me stories like this.
Read you the screenplay?
No, it was... So, the Monkey King is actually a huge thing in Chinese culture. He's, like, one of these folk heroes that's in this novel called Journey to the West.
I read about this on Wiki.
Yeah, it's one of like the four great Chinese novels. One of the other ones is also kind of famous, Romance of the Three Kingdoms, which is what all the Dynasty Warriors and stuff is based on.
Yeah, I read some of that.
I'm pretty sure I read the third great Chinese novel, which is I Am Jackie Chan.
Okay,
like
sure. Yeah.
You haven't read any of it.
Yeah, that's that.
I read one chapter of it.
Oh my god. You're doing Chan-splaining the next 3 weeks.
I'll settle for two.
No, you're chan fictioning next 3 weeks. Continue, Sonny.
So this movie kind of like mixes up a bunch of different myths in that regard, because the character that Jackie plays is from another different one that I didn't really have exposure to.
He was one of the like eight immortals,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And he was like the leader.
Right. And that's a separate thing. But
yeah.
What I did was when I was younger, they show me this TV show that was based on Journey to the West.
Ooh.
And it had the Monkey King in it, and he was just like the super cool. It's kind of like Power Rangers, sort
of. Is it Beetleborgs?
Yeah, it's Beetleborgs.
Wait, is the Monkey King like one of the main guys, or is he?
Yeah.
Like the...
So the point of Journey to the West is that there's a main guy who tries to like go west and bring all the Buddhist scriptures back to the east because like the east part of China is like crumbling under sin and whatever. And the whole story is like, so the first part is the origin story of the Monkey King and how he like gets his powers and he's like born from stone and all that. And then the second part is the introduction of this guy who like incidentally, I don't think the white guy in this movie is supposed to be like a direct analog of, but his name is like a weird bastardization of the guy that's the main character of Journey to the West.
Jason Tripitakis.
Yeah. So Tripitaka is the...
Oh, that's totally intentional.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's like the Sanskrit term for the Buddhist scriptures, and this guy was named after in the novel, and his job is to like fetch them and bring them back. So it's the Monkey King, this like pig-looking dude, and another guy. So the three of them go together.
I have a question.
Yeah.
This is all characters from Dragon Ball Z.
Yes.
Hang out with King Kai.
So, Goku is based on the Monkey King.
Holy shit, for real?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I put that together!
Because he has staff. The staff, which they, kind of...
This reminded me so much of Dragon Ball Z. Continue.
They rip off, like, hardcore... Well, they don't... I mean, obviously, it's like the staff is the same thing, but they don't, like, make the staff interesting. It's supposed to do all this cool shit. But in the movie, it doesn't actually do anything cool.
It can dance.
It dances. But
it
like
for itself.
But the like what the Monkey King does in the show is that like he makes it like 10,000 feet long and like goes into the clouds and then he makes it like a pin and then he like hides it behind his ear and like starts.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think they,
got so
they
much
spent
cool
too
shit
much
to
on
do.
They spent too much money on wire string technology.
And the lady's hair.
Oh yeah.
But yeah,
cool,
I watched that TV show when I was younger, and like,
wait,
there's a lot
of Piccolo.
I don't think it's a direct analog to Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
Because there's no Gohan. The Monkey King never has a kid.
Interrupted Sunny to say that.
Who's Piccolo?
Well,
Sunny's saying the most interesting thing in the podcast, and you're like, "Who's Piccolo?"
No, I thought it was really interesting, but I was. It was interesting, the DBZ connection.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was more of it or just like us, just the Goku and Monkey King thing.
No, I think the main thing is Goku because it's the tail, the staff, and I think his name is actually like a Japanese reading of Sun Wukong in China.
Oh, wow. Cool. That's awesome.
I have information up too if you want about Jackie Chan's character, Liu Yan.
Yeah. Hit me with that.
If you don't... you might know better than I do, but you said he wasn't like...
Yeah, I don't know anything about him, like, mythology-wise.
So, Liu Dongbing, or Liu Yang, was a Tang Dynasty scholar and poet who has been elevated to the status of an immortal in the cultural Chinese sphere, worshipped by Taoists, mostly. He is one of eight immortals and considered to be the de facto leader. The formal leader is more likely to be Zhang Liquan or sometime Iron Crutch Li. He is a historical figure who was mentioned in the official history book History of Song. He is considered to be one of the earliest members of internal alchemy. He is depicted in art as being dressed as a scholar and often bears a sword in his back. See, this doesn't sound much like Jackie Chan, though.
In the movie, he's a failed Taoist.
Right, and they give him... They basically make him a drunken master.
Yeah,
I was wondering if Jackie Chan's master in Drunken Master was, like, one of the immortals, and Jackie was playing him, but I guess it's just a similar thing.
Yeah.
It's weird. I think probably if they had more... I think if there were more cultural, like, Asian icons who were alive and well to act, mm-hmm. I think this movie would have had more people. Mm-hmm. I think this movie, they were just like, oh, let's tell a really cool story about, Chinese folklore and mythology and these folk heroes. But I think they, put Jackie Chan's character with a drunken master mm-hmm. because they, didn't have enough. They were like, we don't want to make 8 characters. They could have made, an awesome, all 8 of them or something like that.
Did you guys get a Lord of the Rings feel from this?
It just kind of felt like a hero's journey. It felt very similar to... I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, but it didn't feel very Lord of the Ringsy to me, at least.
I thought it was just because it's sort of like, we've got this huge thing, this gold staff, we gotta take it to the most dangerous place, which is the evil guy's castle, and we have to cross a desert, and there's all these people that have various motivations, and some of them are one of them literally is dressed like Gandalf is dressed, riding a white horse through the forest. They end up dropping the staff in the fire. The dude burns up in Mordor.
Right. But it never feels as hopeless as Lord of the Rings ends up getting. Because
it's a worse movie.
Yeah.
Before we do this, Jordan, let's do my favorite. Part of every episode is your 3-sentence synopsis of the Forbidden Kingdom.
Okay. Sentence one. A local boy befriends a shopkeeper and is picked on at school because he always wants to know kung fu.
Okay, no.
That was a run-on sentence, but all of that's
probably. Okay, number 2.
He's also never at school.
Yeah.
He's outside of school.
Okay.
The boy gets in trouble with some bullies and gets transported to the Forbidden Kingdom with a magical staff in need of return.
No! You have so many. Your sentence would look insane. It'd be so many semicolons with a magical staff in need of return. Okay, one more sentence.
Okay. The boy travels the Forbidden
Said the boy
Kingdom.
3 sentences in a row. What? Again, you did the same thing last week where you said Jaden Smith at the beginning of each of your 3 sentences.
Oh my God.
And this time you said local boy or the boy.
Okay. Good point.
What is his name?
His
name's Jason.
Oh, yeah, Jason.
Jason travels the Forbidden Kingdom on a journey with a ragtag bunch of Chinese folk heroes.
You could say Chinese people, which would be really funny.
No, I was gonna. I wasn't sure how to describe the of ragtag.
Yeah.
People to return the staff to the Monkey King.
Oh. Okay, that is what the movie's about.
That is okay.
I'm gonna try it one.
I'm not good at this.
I want to try it one sentence again.
Okay.
This is actually a really tough one to do in one sentence.
Yeah.
Boom.
Let's see this guy. He's from Boston, right?
Yeah, I think that's where the...
After a Boston teenager is transported to is it mythical China?
I think ancient China.
After a Bostonian teenager is transported to ancient China, he becomes intertwined with the quest to return a staff to a god king.
Yeah.
But that's less information than Jordan gave.
Yeah.
I think 2 sentences is necessary. Sonny, do it in 2 sentences.
Oh, God.
You're like the this is like the Goldilocks of synopses.
Sonny
Locks?
So he lost.
A teenage kung fu fan finds himself transported to ancient China with a golden staff. He encounters mythical folk heroes that help him return the staff to its rightful owner.
Sonny, that was gold. That was really good. I think two that is the really money good. Right now. Great job.
Yeah. You set me up by making it three. That was the real. Yeah. That was the real.
Your you problem is that two? Like you want to start at the beginning too much, so you like yeah. you like give too many details that aren't important.
Yeah,
yeah, I think so. I have a question.
Yeah.
So first, do you think the Monkey King is a good guy? Is he a bad? He's not a bad.
He's
guy.
Like a mischievous guy.
Yeah, he's
like, he's like a Quetzalcoatl, like a Loki.
Yeah, I think there are other.
Nah, Loki's bad.
Loki's like clearly bad.
I'd say he's like a Hermes.
But no, Loki's bad in the Marvel movies. I think Loki's like pretty neutral in, like he's pretty just like a mischievous like troublemaker in the actual mythology. Mm,
but he always has his own like weird motivations. I don't think the Monkey King really does. He's just kind of like. A guy who loves peaches. That's his thing.
In a lot of these pictures of Loki, he's torturing people.
So you think the Emperor's right? It's just like, oh, he. What did the Emperor say about him? The Jade Emperor?
He's just like unrefined or something.
Yeah, he's a wild man.
Yeah.
He's just a little monkey guy.
Yeah.
Doing his thing. I'm going to say that right off the bat, the movie starts... weirdly, it's pretty intense at the beginning, and I'll say later if I really feel like the resolution that they give in the real world is right. But it starts off pretty rough. Like they drop a bunch of C bombs in this movie.
Oh yeah,
they do.
I was gonna say totally even do. Before that, the exposition is rough. But yes, that is also.
But like. Just like the bullies and stuff like that, the world of Boston in 2010
it's pretty realistic.
Is rough.
Yeah,
it's that's Boston to you.
I mean, it's a pretty. How do I put this without getting in without my girlfriend hearing in the next room? She's from Boston. The best thing I've heard described is Boston is a city where half of the people are scientists and half of the people sell knockoff. Red Sox hats outside Fenway Park.
Yeah,
that's there is half no, of the people.
There is no in between
and one half realizes the other half is almost entirely Asian, and it's very weird.
Yeah, it's true. All these other guys are not from here. Yeah, but Boston has a nebulous, pretty bad racial history, to put it lightly, that still kind of persists. So yeah. I understand it. It was weird that it was set in Boston, though.
Just yeah, I don't really know.
Because why?
Here's some really interesting trivia, though. The director of this movie, his name is Rob Minkoff.
Yeah.
He married an Asian woman who is like a 76th generation descendant of Confucius.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What?
Crystal Kung is her name?
Yeah. And this guy also directed The Lion King.
Fuck.
What?
And yeah. Stuart Little.
This guy, yeah. The guy who directed Forbidden Kingdom, also directed The Lion King.
And Stuart Little.
Yeah, and Stuart Little.
That's incredible.
So he's got like children and young adult.
Pretty much. Like there's rain? Yeah, I guess so. Because there's no blood in this movie. This could easily just be a children's movie.
Oh, there is blood.
Is there?
It's
there's like.
Scooch.
You see blood through Jet Li's.
Oh, yeah. And he gets his face scratched.
But you never actually see a cut.
I mean, there are certainly, throats that are being slashed, and there's no blood coming out of there.
Oh, it's violent. It's PG. This is a PG-13 movie. Probably deservedly so.
Yeah.
Jeez. I thought that the bullies were... Yeah, so pretty much what happens is this dude is a big nerd who loves... kung fu films and wants to be like a kung fu. He's a weeboo,
yeah.
Pretty much. A wee.
I don't know if that applies to Chinese culture. but well, effectively, yeah.
Effectively, he is. I'm going to say use a bad term for a different thing.
What does that term actually mean? I've heard it tossed around.
It's like,
is it like somebody who's like obsessed with Japanese culture and anime and stuff like that?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like an otaku to an embarrassing extent.
I don't know what that term means. So
that's what you said, but yeah. More.
Okay.
So he's kind of like Christian Slater's character. It reminded me of in True Romance. Except obsessed with kung fu.
Yeah, okay.
But so he's best friends with Jackie Chan, who's a 90-year-old man in the scene, who like runs a pawn shop, who also has fucking artifacts and kung fu DVDs. And
right.
I guess in 2008, no Blu-rays yet.
Yeah.
Well, no, he... Okay, so I think that's wrong. I don't think he sells artifacts. He's like...
Oh, true.
He sells DVDs. He, like, cashes checks. He does, like, money handling or whatever. And he just happens to have a magical artifact in the back of his shop.
Yeah.
That's not what his shop is about, though.
No, you're right. I was mistaken. Yeah. Thank you, Jordan. Okay. You're totally right. And so when a bunch of... Black Irish, which I will say, because that's my favorite term.
So, speaking of Black Irish, Sonny, you've seen the movie Black Irish, right? That movie we saw at that film club trip, like, at, like, the,
I only remember one movie from that trip, and I think it was Elvis and Annabelle.
Oh, no, that's the year before that we saw this movie called Black Irish. It's got, it's got the guy from
Brendan Gleeson.
Gleeson's father, and this kid is the star of Black Irish.
Really? Oh. The bully is?
Yeah, the boy is the star of Black Irish. I looked that up.
I don't think I ever watched this movie.
Oh, it's really really good. It was playing. We saw it at. It's not the Sundance Film Festival. What's the Long Island one?
Yeah, Telluride?
What?
Telluride?
I know. I don't think... I only went to that one year. And that's the year I saw Elvis and Annabelle.
Oh, well, the year before that, we saw Black Irish.
Oh.
And this kid from that, he's from Sky High.
Yeah, Sky High.
He's also in The Nick. That's what I know
I didn't
from.
Watch The Nick.
He plays a young doctor.
I don't watch shows that...
Our
good. Former presidents watch.
Yeah, Obama's favorite show. Whoever that is, I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
I got a rule against it.
Yeah. So the guy from The Nick, Jason, gets the shit kicked out of him by some bullies for liking, I guess, Chinese people and also Chinese films.
Yeah.
I guess so. And they trick him into letting them into Jackie Chan's pawn shop, which contains...
What is it?
Yeah.
They don't exactly trick him.
They
force him to trick Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Yes. They form a tricker. They do a Loki rascal move.
Yeah, exactly.
So they want to rob Jackie Chan. And in the like in the robbery, it gets botched and they shoot Jackie Chan in the fucking chest. He goes down. And somehow Jason ends up in possession of this golden staff that he was marveling at before, that he said he saw in a kung fu movie.
In a dream.
In a dream. That's crazy, really?
Yeah, because he dreams...
Oh, was he dreaming the beginning?
I think so. Yeah. I think that was the implication.
Oh, yeah.
He dreams about the Monkey King.
Oh, yeah, the real opening scene is Jet Li as Monkey King on a cloud beating up a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
Yep.
Was that a good scene? I don't know if I like that scene.
Yeah, it
was.
It was like fine. It was kind of like, I don't know, because that sort of like fighting is like what Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon did, and it's like great in that movie. But I think it's just like, I don't know if it's taken seriously here, because you have to really commit to looking that goofy and flying around.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, Jet Li's character in this movie, like. His fighting is goofy. I just don't really see the point in it, because when you get into the Monkey King, like the backstory behind the Monkey King, that has an important role, that like fighting on a cloud thing.
Right.
But it, like, literally never comes up for the rest of
the
movie.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really matter. It's like, the whole thing about the Monkey King is, oh, he, like, was on top of this hill, and he was, like, the king of the hill forever, and no one could beat him.
He was Hank Hill.
Yeah, he was Hank Hill. Where's and then tattoo? Yeah, Matt's going to show his Hank Hill tattoo.
People on podcasts at home, I have a tattoo of Hank Hill. Very cool.
So he was king of the hill, and no one could beat him, but then he got beat somewhere else. Like, I don't really see the point except for, like, showing that he saw him on the hill.
Well, it's like it's not a literal hill that he's the king of.
No.
It was just like, oh, here's this cool myth that exists.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was just to show that this kid is sort of divine, too. That he has, he's sort of like a link between the two timelines or worlds.
But wasn't it on the TV? Am I crazy?
No,
not that. It was something else.
Martial arts movie was on.
But it looked similar on the TV. There was, like, I think it was that same cloud mountain fight.
I don't think so. But regardless, we're spending too much time on, like, a 5-minute thing. So he gets transported. Well, after falling off a building, he gets transported through the ground to China, which I wrote in my notes. He literally dug a hole to China.
To China.
To the Chinese past. And everything's all wacky, and he meets Jackie Chan, who's a drunken master.
Yeah.
I find the plot of this movie kind of, to talk in broad strokes, kind of, like, discombobulating.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things.
There's a ton. I wonder if they wanted to set up, like, future movies.
Maybe.
With this. But it's just, I don't know. Should we just talk in broad strokes about the general plot of this?
Well,
yeah. I think we could.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward, right? Like, there's a bunch of, like, individual motivations, but the main thing is just he needs to get the staff back to the Monkey King, who was turned into a statue by the Jade Emperor.
Yeah. Jade Emperor and him were fighting, and the Monkey King is like, a better fighter than... No, the Jade Warlord.
Yeah, the Jade Emperor is, like, the god man.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jade Emperor is having this, like, tea party, and the Monkey King barges in. The Jade Emperor goes on, like, a 500-year meditation, and he tells the Jade Warlord before he goes to just be nice to the Monkey King, and he goes, and the Jade Warlord's like, F that noise.
Fight him.
I hate this guy. So they fight, and, like, he tricks him, and he tricks him to, like, put down his staff, and he's like, oh, let's fight with our hands. No more magic.
Mm-hmm.
And the Monkey King believes him, and then he magics him into stone, and the Monkey King throws the staff hundreds of miles or thousands of miles away.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he throws it out of the world and into, like, our world.
Yeah, yeah. I think that there's... He threw it with such a thing that it's confusing.
Yeah,
I thought that he just kind of did throw it out, like, almost threw it out of time. It became, like, an energy thing. Because isn't everything chi magic, he says at one point? That's the term that's used, chi magic. He magically transports it away.
Right.
Okay, so here's a confusing thing. Are the worlds parallel, or are the worlds, like, are they, like, simultaneously happening, and this is ancient China, or this is, like, a magic...
I don't think it's ever established.
Kingdom? Yeah.
But what do you think? What is your gut telling you?
My gut tells me that they needed a device for a movie. Yeah.
My gut tells me that this isn't really, like, a hard sci-fi.
Yeah, but so in the story, what happens to the Monkey King is the Jade Emperor is actually the one who's, like, against him, and he like appeals to Buddha, who, like, comes and ends up trapping the Monkey King in his palm.
What, Buddha?
For 500 years. Yeah, Siddhartha Buddha. And then he turns his hand into a mountain, and that's where the Monkey King stays for 500 years.
Man, That sucks.
Yeah.
So Jet Jet Li played the Monkey King.
He was good.
He was good. I felt like Jackie Chan should have been. Jackie Probably. Chan is a more impish, whimsical person than yeah. Jet Li is very. Should have. Jet Li was right to play that monk.
Yeah. Right. But Jackie is a better drunken master. Or like a
yeah.
drunk.
He could have. I don't. Yeah. I think.
If there was a third very famous, very popular, like.
Bruce Lee.
Like Donnie Yen.
Yeah, well, yeah, Donnie Yen wasn't. Donnie Yen. Was Ip Man popular in America at that point?
No, I don't think it had even come. Ip Man 1 came out.
Yeah.
I think it was already out, but I don't think it was popular yet.
But yeah, I mean, like, the whole thing, the reveal is that Jet Li is the same person. So that wouldn't have worked if it was a third dude.
Yeah, along their journey, it almost doesn't even make a lot of sense to talk about the micro things that happen. Like, yeah. They get into fights with gangs of people to varying entertainment levels. They pick up a woman along the way,
The Golden Sparrow.
Yeah. Who, I want to ask you, Sonny, why does she speak in third person?
I don't know. She's actually, I think she was just made up for this movie.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's absolutely ridiculous. You have this fight, you have so much culture to draw from, and you use a fake character.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's silly.
Fuck that. So she wants to kill the Jade General, or Jade at, what's his name?
Warlord.
Jade Warlord, because he killed her family when she was a baby.
Right.
She wants that sweet revenge.
Yeah.
And then they also pick up a monk along the way, which is played by Jet Li.
Yeah. I like the first fight they had.
I was going to say that was the redeeming part of this movie, and I think what got this movie made was, was somebody at like Golden Harvest Films going, listen... We get Jackie and Jet both have time off.
Yeah.
Let's have them fight. We'll make $100 million. Everyone will go fucking nuts about it in America and China.
Yeah.
That fight was okay.
I thought that fight was fun. I thought their tension was fun. There's some enjoyable scenes based on their tension. They're like, there's a scene where literally to train Jason, they are like Jet Li is attacking him and Jackie is like moving his arms to block everything and like hit back and stuff like that. That scene was enjoyable. There's a scene where they're going to die in the desert and Jackie as a Taoist monk is like doing a Taoist prayer to ask for rain. And as he's, like, doing the prayer on the ground, there's, like, drops hitting the floor and hitting the prayer parchment that he's writing on. And Jackie's like, yes, like, I'm doing it. And you see that it cuts to Jet Li standing on a rock peeing on him.
Yeah. Why are there so many pee jokes in these movies?
There are a lot of pee jokes in this movie, but that one I thought was actually good. It's not like the weird one in that other movie where it's like weirdly sexual.
Was that an Armor of God? No.
No, no. It's the Medallion.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah. Fuck that movie. I forgot we watched that movie. Yeah. So after the whole crew is together, they decide that they're gonna train. Jason's getting trained the whole time.
Yeah.
Which is. I guess a necessary device. Jordan, let's talk about, because this movie I don't think is good enough to like warrant a real breakdown of like any training stuff. You were talking about on the thread about like how he's sort of like he plays the white savior role in this movie.
Yeah. So I thought, so they make a lot of comments about it, like when Jet Li and Jackie, and when they're done fighting, and like Jet Li's like, oh, I'm here to give, like, my goal is to get the staff to the secret,
right.
And that's why I'm fighting for it. And Jackie's like, he points to him and he's like, that's him. And they like both turn to each other and like I don't know if he calls him white or if he
no he says he's
like,
not even Chinese
he says he's not even Chi-
yeah.
oh yeah. yeah that's what it was So, like, they make comments about it. Multiple people in the movie make comments about it. But it definitely has that feel of just, like, they have these, like, folk legends that, like, could get the staff and are powerful enough to get the staff on their own. Why is this, like, kid who doesn't even know how to, like, fight and needs to be trained? Why is he able to do it? Why can't the sparrow do it? Like, is it just...
Yeah.
It just felt it seems very weird. Silly.
Because, like, yeah, it ends up that Jet Li and the sparrow just, like, straight up fight their way in through the castle anyway by themselves.
So this is my... I was thinking about it. This is, like, I think the common trope that Hollywood movies make. Hollywood movies make movies for white people.
Sure.
Yes.
And they are... I think their thought process is, like, okay, we're making this movie for white people. White people don't know anything.
What about Girls Trip? What about Girls Trip?
I'm saying, as a whole, they usually make movies for white
people. What about Nightmare Before Elm Street?
Probably for white people.
It's also not a movie.
But, I think they that is their intended audience, because that is their, like, that, like, is the lens that we...
Yes.
As a culture, write things
for.
Yeah,
of course.
So they write Jason as, like, a fill-in for an audience member.
Totally.
As, like, you are, like, thrust into a world and you meet these Chinese folk legends and you, like, get to learn how to do kung fu and awesome fighting and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's their reasoning for it, but it definitely... I think we didn't really, as a culture, have language. Maybe some people were talking about, like, white savior movies at that point in time, but, like, it wasn't, like, part of the common lexicon. This feels very much like it would get the same reaction that, like, a Great Wall got. Like, why are these, like, Chinese folk legends not able to do it? Why not have, like, oh, it's a guy who likes kung fu and goes to a local Chinese businessman, like a business owner.
Yeah.
Why couldn't it be a Chinese kid?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like,
no, absolutely.
I think it's just, like, it's playing to that typical Hollywood problem of, like, only caring about, like, a white lens of seeing the world. And that was kind of the reading that I got. I think... That aside, I think the movie was good and enjoyable, and I think, I don't know, that was my one critique of it.
That was the one.
with Jet Li? No, this is a different movie.
Yeah, were you going to say something? I apologize.
I was just going to say that, like, it's weird because I guess now or in recent years, American movies have been putting in Asian characters randomly in order to appeal to Chinese markets. Which are, like, which make up a lot of the, at least, like, I don't know, half of the movie stuff now or whatever. At least big blockbusters do. Like, stuff like Transformers or, like, I guess, like, even Arrival made a lot of money over in China, I think. But it's still not, like, those movies aren't based in Chinese culture. They're still based primarily within American culture. So there's no whitewashing surrounding those things. But it's also kind of weird that they put in these props to also try to get more Asian people to watch it.
It's true. I had a friend named... It makes sense that I had. I worked with a young boy named Joel for many years. Mm-hmm. He was not a young boy. He was like 23. Last time I saw him, or 24. He was a lunatic.
Is Joel Asian? And we would play...
No. Oh, Joel's okay. Dominican.
Okay, that's what I thought, yeah.
Joel's Dominican. And he had this fucking idea back in, like, 2011, where this was going to start happening now. Where he said, I'm looking at... We would ask him to just pitch movies. We'd say, Cars 3. And he would just give us his idea for Cars 3, which was actually right. He actually said it was, like, about the quest for oil, and it was, like, fucking... it was crazy. He honestly came up with it. Or we would ask him, like, what's The Dark Knight 3? Or what's Batman 3? And he's like, oh, Batman gets killed in the first 10 minutes. Is Alfred just getting revenge? Like, that's amazing, but it's insane. We asked him, I remember it was As Good As It Gets, part two.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. It was, maybe it was As Good As It Gets. And he said it's going to be Jack Nicholson, but the rest, he's going to move to China. And it's going to appeal directly to the Chinese markets. And he's like, that's going to start a whole bunch of movies of having American actors in China just to get Chinese people to see them and get, like, a couple Americans. And we thought he was insane, because that is crazy, but it's sort of happening.
It's sort of what happened. Yeah.
Well, at least with movies like Arrival, it kind of makes sense. It makes sense
to have,
like, the whole thing is that there's a tension between the Chinese government and the American government.
Yeah, right.
Because in real life, the Chinese government and the American government don't get along. So, like, that at least makes sense. It's not... I think that they didn't put it in just to appeal to the Chinese markets.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so either.
Like, I think that is a good...
Yeah, that's a good, like, example of it, yeah.
In the short story that's based off of, I'm pretty sure the characters are Japanese.
It's definitely written by an Asian person.
I think he's Japanese.
Arrival?
Stories of Ourselves. I think his name is Ted Chiang.
Oh, maybe not. Sunny looking it up.
No, he's Chinese.
He's Chinese? Yeah, okay, so then, yeah, then good.
Yeah, that makes
sense. I assumed he was like the Never Let Me Go guy or whatever, who I think is actually British.
I think, yeah, but he's, I think, ethnically Japanese.
Yeah. I don't know. Confusing. Doesn't matter. Yeah. In the long run. But yeah, I think that this movie... Jordan, what you said I think is absolutely right. In that he's supposed to totally be our eye into the world. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was written as with not a white guy first. And then the studio went, let's just make him white. We got this kid we want to put some shine on.
Yeah.
We got big things. He's going to be in the Nick one day. He's gonna be at a critically acclaimed show that Matt watches and that Obama watches. So I see that. I get that, but it's still
it's a weird choice. Like, even if you think about it for a second, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I grapple with that shit all the time, because I totally think that you should have like fair representation of races and genders and everything in movies,
right?
But I'm also like, this is a fucking dumb movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is a dumb movie, and it'd be bad either way. And I'm like, of course a studio would say that. It's like saying, like, why is my McDonald's bad? It's because it's fucking McDonald's, and it's lowest common denominator entertainment. I don't really care about D-minus shit that it does D-minus shit.
There's also, like, an angle to this where you can see, like, there are Americans who probably would never have seen this movie if it was an all-Asian cast, who get exposure to these Chinese myths, but it doesn't provide enough, like, context or interesting ways that it's actually being told to have them seek out the original text or whatever. Like,
that's true.
All the ideas could have just been presented as stuff they made up for the movie, and people would have just been like, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
I believe it. They made up that girl.
Yeah.
Who I thought was a really interesting character. And
she was fake.
Maybe the Chinese myths suck and she's great.
I think they needed to have her so she could show up at the end and be a real person. Because otherwise, like, what the fuck?
She's playing Mulan in the adaptation.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
I read an article that said China reacts to blah, blah, blah being Mulan.
Yeah.
That's cool. So here's my question. Like, did she already exist in the world? I think this movie's a dream.
No, it's not a dream. It's just like a stupid movie. You like
There's
either
too
think
many
that,
things.
You think it's either a dream or you think it's like hard sci-fi and you care about like the timelines.
Okay, so here's my question. He goes into the world. He meets Sparrow.
Yes.
She dies in the world.
Yes.
And then magically, did she first begin existing when he got out of the world? Did she already exist?
Maybe she's an immortal.
Was there already a Sparrow?
Maybe she becomes
she's not immortal.
Maybe she becomes one, though.
No, but she's not.
She has to exist because girl. She went into that shop. You have to assume that that shop also appeared too. If
so, that's the question though. If he died, would she be in the world already? Was she created because he worked across the street from a girl who looked exactly the same? And like, did she go into the world with him in some ways?
Maybe they. I don't think it matters. I think it's like such a stupid movie. It's not important. I thought that the girl that showed up in the earlier scenes when he's getting bullied would come back.
Yeah, she's credited as Southie Girl on Wikipedia.
Southie Girl. Oh my god.
Like Leo.
Hold on, I'm trying to see.
He was a Southie, right?
Yes. Yeah. My girlfriend's ex-boyfriend was a Southie boy. She says that they're trash.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look up her character, the Sparrow character. She doesn't come up in the Wikipedia very much, or at all. So, I guess she is fake. I thought she might have been like a secret immortal character that we didn't know, but that Sunny wasn't aware of, but I was wrong.
She's in the last scene, I'm pretty sure.
No, it's her. That's totally her. I don't think it matters that she comes back, because this movie's nonsense. obviously, they end up giving the sword to the Monkey King statue, and Jet Li swerves us all by showing that the monk that he was playing was like a copy of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was able to make copies of himself by pulling out his hair.
I thought that was like a fine
payoff.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah. I did too. By that time, I was just so kind of tired of the competence of this movie. I say this movie is just so competent.
Yeah.
It is so lacking anything of, like, fun or interest.
It's just, like, they're going through the motions.
Like, if I made this movie, I wouldn't be proud, but I'd go, okay, I made a real movie.
Yeah.
I made $100 million. It was probably really tough to do. Mm-hmm. I got other jobs out of it. It's cool. It's like I get a promotion.
I think when you make the Lion King that early in your career, what do you do?
Oh, fuck. He made like one of the best anime movies ever.
Yeah.
So here, if this movie came out today, do you think I think it would have more people.
In it?
I think it would have more, like, I think it would be like a Fantastic or Magnificent Seven.
Oh, maybe. It probably longer.
I think there would be more cool characters. I think we're moving towards like bigger ensemble cast in these type of movies.
So we can get more and like I think Avengers. That would have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they do like even that movie The Great Wall, mm-hmm. there's like five main people.
I don't know anything like about that movie.
I saw it on HBO. It was pretty bad.
I heard someone said it wasn't the worst. They're like, it's...
It wasn't the worst. It just, like, was...
Is it better than this?
Very mediocre. I think it looks better than this.
Okay. Yeah.
It's worse in some ways, though.
Okay. So, to end this part of the movie, they end up killing the Monkey King. Everything is restored. Really, the plot
No, he kills the Jade Warlord.
He kills the Jade Warlord. He saves the Monkey King. It doesn't matter. It's such an uninspiring script.
Yeah.
I
think there is a Lord of the Rings level movie that can come out of the novels, I think, because it is presented as like a pretty big epic thing. But it would require like a hell of a lot of money and production, probably.
They shot in Mongolia, I read, which is interesting.
That is cool.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, that's fun. And this, to be honest, the setting was really interesting. It did look cool and
the setting
looked pretty. The fight scenes were C level. The thing that was so frustrating, where there were a couple shots, was like, oh, this is great. They're not going to cut away. It's going to be like a scene. And they fucking cut away. Yeah. And then they slow-mo. They do so much slow motion in this movie to hide that people are bad at kung fu.
Right.
Which makes me wish that they had just done slow motion for every fight scene in that way. Or not at all. Yeah, just don't do it at all. Do you guys have any last thoughts about this before we give our grades?
Not really. And I think that you're giving it, I think it's pretty solidly, like, not, it's not amazing, but I think they have cool storytelling. They have, like, cool characters. I think it's kind of silly that, like, the girl in this movie, the Golden Sparrow, like, Jet Li literally tells her, she's like, oh, my one goal is to, like, kill this dude. Mm-hmm. And then, like, he's just like, oh, vengeance is gonna reverberate and hit you back. And then it literally happens. I just thought it was very uneventful.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of the plot points feel really contrived. Like, why did Jackie have to get shot by an arrow? They're already going to the castle place. They could have just kept going.
Just to raise the stakes.
Just to, yeah.
Yeah.
We actually should talk a little bit more about Jackie's performance in this, since this is his podcast.
Yeah, thinking that's about true. It.
I think he's at a point where he's really phoning it in, and all of the things from this period are pretty, I think they're pretty bad. His performances aren't that jaw-dropping, and sometimes the action was good.
Right. I don't think they give him very much in either of his characters. Like, what's his name? Hop was, like, super, I don't know. He was supposed to be serious, but he was also really goofy.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're the same person. They're the same person.
They are.
He's drinking
person?
At the beginning. Yes. Yeah. He needs wine to survive in China, and he's drinking.
And then
from
he,
a flask.
At the end, he says, "I'm immortal."
I know, but I wasn't sure. No, I knew that he was immortal, but I wasn't sure if he was the same dude.
It's the same guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jordan really wants to just show us his whiteboard he has of time travel regarding this movie and how it operates.
I was writing it. I had, like, have you ever seen one of those boogie boards?
Yeah.
I was writing it frantically as I was watching the movie, trying to put the pieces together.
Yeah. I thought the only boogie board I know is the surf kind, so I don't know what you're talking about. That's fine.
They're used in, like, magic and stuff. They're like erasable. Are they, like, LED boards or something?
No,
like
they're
that?
Just, like, some weird sand technology. I don't know.
Okay.
Weird sand technology.
Jordan, what's your grade? Since you seem pretty high, decently high on it.
I actually was going to give it, like, a 2.
Oh, that's high. That's lower than I was going to give it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes. We have a grade at a 5.
Well, I thought it was, like, pretty middle of the road. I'll give it a 2.5.
Okay.
I think it was just, like, average. There were cool stuff. It was just kind of, like, underwhelming at some points. I'm trying to compare it to, like, other movies we've watched. And recently, I'm pretty sure I gave, like, a 2.5 or a 3 to Armor of God, which had a lot worse stuff in it, I feel like, at times. So it's hard to, if I'm comparing them, I feel like this is a little bit worse. I thought it was cool, though.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. I give it a 2.5. I think gets a 50%, say, it's a DeAndre Jordan foul shot. It's a half chance to go in. And when it goes in, nobody cares, and when it misses, it's really bad. And you go, why are they shooting foul shots?
Yeah, I was also going to give it... did you have more?
No, that's it.
Yeah, I was also going to give it a 2.5, I think. It's just, like, not... Very interesting. It's just disappointing because there's so many cool stuff to these stories, and they just, like, skimmed the surface of it.
I will say this. This movie will definitely inspire me to go down the Chinese folklore rabbit hole, like I do with Wikipedia sometimes when I get high or, like, I'm home alone, but just with Chinese culture, which I wouldn't do otherwise, but it does seem... Sonny talked about it in such interesting... Yeah, it's more you, Sonny, than the movie.
Right.
to be honest.
It is cool, and, like, there's definitely, like, traces of interesting stuff, but I think it, like, stops right before it starts being really cool.
I wonder if I can get my hands on an early script of this. I bet it was more interesting, and they said it's... Like, do you guys know about the Annihilation, what they said recently about the screenings for Annihilation?
No.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
No, it's the new whatever Deus Ex guy movie.
Yeah.
They said that the reason why they're not showing it in England and they're Netflixing it in England is because they said it's too intellectual of a movie for people.
That's wild.
Yeah, so they're Yeah, they're afraid no one's going to see it because it's too smart. And I feel that this is one of those things where they go, oh, it was too, it either was too expensive to do certain things, so they scaled down the cost of stunts. Okay. Or it was, like, fucking wild shit and was, like, Narnia. Yeah. I could see this being a Narnia kind of movie.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck! That's such a good idea, Narnia the shit. But yeah, that's the Forbidden Kingdom. I looked up Forbidden Planet a bunch of times thinking that my phone was gonna remember. Yeah, that's it. So you guys want to jack off?
Let's jack off.
Yeah, I'm in.
Sonny, you're at 4 right now.
Yeah.
What?
George, you got rocked. It was tied, and then Sonny dropped a bomb on you. Okay, so here's what's gonna happen. I have a new addition to this idea.
Okay.
Which is, I'm always adding to this idea.
As long as you're not subtracting.
I'm going to do two this time. If you can't, I'm going to give 3 hard clues to the first one, and if you can't get it, the points are going to roll over.
Okay.
So the first one I'm going to do is going to be worth 6. So if nobody gets it, those 6 points will transfer.
Okay.
All right. Wait, it doesn't go down like 6, then 4, then 2? Okay.
So you can get 12 on the second one. Okay.
We'll go from 12 to 8. To 4?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. That's a lot.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Vince McChan.
Chances Ford Coppola. Janet Jackson.
Damn. Malfunctioned? Oh, I guess it was, yeah. I take it back. I take back my... Wait, Sonny, did you say Janet Jackson?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Janet Jackie's son.
The Cherry Orchard.
George Washington. Ichan Chekhov. Okay. Yeah. Boom.
Chant on Jack. All right. But yeah. That was a good one. Yeah, that's close. Wait, when is this, Sunny, when is this supposed to end?
A little bit better than me. We played a 21.
But we don't know what the actual scores are.
21 above.
Oh, 21 above.
Yeah. Doesn't matter how many points you have.
Yeah, we need to go on a rally.
It's like when you're...
Yeah.
It's like winning by two. But instead winning by 21.
Okay. Oh.
I want to watch that movie that somebody suggested from my Facebook.
So, here's the rub. The 16th is... Oh, I hope it's the 16th. Lunar New Year. But that's not...
Whoa.
The day that we're... Yeah.
That's not the day we record.
So that's irrelevant. Let's see.
If I didn't have all these birthday notifications, I would be able to find this thing better. Thank you. okay, it's called City Hunter, where Jackie Chan, a pretty famous GIF, where Jackie Chan, like, gets, like, absorbed into a video game and has to fight Ken from Street Fighter, and then he becomes Chun-Li and has to fight...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he's Dalsim.
Oh, yeah.
I think it sounds silly. It sounds like it's going to be, like, a silly 1980s, early 90s Jackie Chan movie. That was just my suggestion.
I'm still looking for a... He does have a lot of movies.
Yeah, he's got a big list.
Yeah. Did we do... Oh, no, never mind. He's not actually in Cannonball Run. We'll cut this out. What about Dragons Forever?
Whoa, that sounds great.
It's directed by Sammo. I did find it on Daily Motion. Wow. Yeah. It's one of the links in Google. Let's do it.
Okay,
Dragons Forever.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, review.
She's not listening.
Yeah. All
my Caroline doesn't have any interest. All
either. Raven doesn't have any interest. All of our girlfriends need to.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That would be 2 hours every episode.
We would be done with our podcast and they'd be like, we're still talking about how much they're wasting their time.
All right. Thanks, guys. Okay. Bye.
Bye.